Today, I am here at Bearden Fieldhouse, 6600 Kingston Pike, atop Bearden Hill for the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. You can come on by. We've got the keyword set up right here where our table is set up. And find the keyword, text it in to 68255. You could be one of three finalists that will be drawn and texted back at the end of tonight's program. So again, Bearden Fieldhouse, 6600 Kingston Pike. Come on by. We head to the Stanley Fencing and Gates hotline as we get to say hello to our good friend Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com as he joins us for this hour each week. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. From design to installation, the team at Diversified has you covered. View their portfolio online at sunandscreen.com. Basketball commitments, basketball hires, football commitments, all kinds of things going on, Brent Hubbs. But first and foremost, how is young Madison doing day two with her braces?
Oh, John, she's fine. We got to tell everybody everything going on, I guess. But she's doing fine. So I told her to get ready for the experience. I certainly dealt with it for a long period of time. But no, she's good. Hope everybody's doing well out there. As you mentioned, it's been crazy. There's tons of things to get to when you talk about what's happened in the hoops world, how dramatically this roster, how different this roster looks now just in a little over 24 hours of news. And then on the football side of things, as you mentioned, Josh Heupel gets his first two commits, an in-state commitment in Elijah Herring, and then goes out of state today and gets a commitment in the Steve Kidd, who both those kids are going to help him on defense. And guys who may grow into edge rushers, be edge rushers, certainly can factor in at linebacker as well.
Why don't we start with hoops, and that is nine stars worth of big men in the last 2 days. How vital is it to the next edition of Rick Barnes' Tennessee Volunteers?
Well, I think it was tremendously vital. I think Rick Barnes said so at the end of the season, that they had to get and work on developing a better post presence. And they have certainly done that when you look at what they have gotten done. Obviously getting, hiring Coach Gainey from Marquette paid great dividends on the recruiting front immediately. And then the work that they put in to get Brandon Hartley Hatfield in the fold has been, that's multiple years in the making, and had a chance to visit with Brandon earlier today, just after his commitment went public, to talk about why Tennessee. And he credited Rick Barnes, even though there's been staff turnover, he credited Rick Barnes a good bit, not just for his resume and his reputation of coaching players in the past, what he did with Jaden Springer this year, but the fact that Rick Barnes had made him such a priority. He had been on multiple Zoom calls with him, multiple phone calls with him, and he's well aware of the fact that Rick Barnes doesn't, at this point in his career, doesn't live in every gym or doesn't, do four or five Zoom calls a day with recruits. I mean, that's, you get Rick Barnes' time, you're getting some significant time as a recruit, and that stood out greatly to Brandon, and also the opportunity to play with Kennedy Chandler. He thinks the two can complement each other very well, and they should be able to when you talk about what Chandler can do at the point, and now you're talking about bringing in a 6'9 power forward who ultimately can probably end up being a power point forward for you or for somebody at some point in time as well.
Brent, do you think the addition of Jonas Adu and Huntley Hatfield could affect John Fulkerson?
Yeah.
Doesn't have nearly the voice of John Wilkerson. Do you think it could impact his decision on coming back to Tennessee in that he won't be just the only focus and folks can't double-team him and he could have some help inside?
I don't know, Jimmy. I think John Fulkerson's going to come back, and that's just in talking to people and obviously talking to Rob Lewis a good bit as well. That's something Rob mentioned on our mailbag podcast this morning. I've kind of the last few days leaned towards John Fulkerson returning. I don't think that's simply because they got two commits, but if I'm John Fulkerson, I'm looking and seeing, yeah, we got help. We've got a lot of offensive diversity. We're not just me in the post and then some guards out there. We can score in a variety of different ways. So if I were John Fulkerson, I think I would be excited about the two new roster additions, and I think they could all complement each other extremely well. So, I don't think it will decide it for John Fulkerson, but it's certainly not going to work against Tennessee's chances of getting John Fulkerson to come back. I don't think he looks at those two and go, well, I'm not going to play enough minutes or anything like that. I think he should look at it as, well, I've got some help, and help in the post is something this program certainly needs.
Yes. All right, so we got the Wades that are expected to make a decision, I believe, tomorrow. What are you hearing there?
Yeah, that one feels like Kentucky. It's to be honest with you, it's felt like Kentucky the last 2-3 days, 4 days. I think Destin Wade likes the opportunity at Kentucky at quarterback, believes he's going to get a legitimate opportunity to be a quarterback, feels like Kentucky has recruited him as a quarterback. Tennessee's made it clear to him he would have an opportunity to play quarterback if he came to Tennessee, would at least get a chance there. But you know, I think there's a comfort level with Destin Wade with Kentucky. I think that there's a comfort level for the mom with Kentucky as well. Not that she dislikes Tennessee, but I think there's a comfort level with Kentucky. And while there's some new staff members at Kentucky, it's not a whole new staff, and that's probably helped Kentucky a bit. And Jimmy, it just feels like it's Kentucky right now. I could be surprised tomorrow. They've not told anybody anything. They've not told the media anything. I'm not sure they've told – I don't believe they've told either school anything. Just in talking to some people, it feels more like Kentucky right now, and it has the last few days than it has Tennessee.
If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Brent, in looking at what has been added, you mentioned two commits. What do you think in terms of the first two to say yes to Coach Heupel and his staff?
Well, again, you got an in-state player and an out-of-state player, both on the defensive side of the ball. And I think we both know, or we all three know, that when you look at this roster, the greatest depletion on this roster right now is on defense. And they certainly need defensive players. And I like Elijah Herring. Yes, he's got a younger brother who's going to be a highly recruited player as well. But I think Elijah Herring can play. Michigan just offered in the last month, Virginia Tech, Kentucky, Tennessee. I think that's a guy whose stock was going up and continues to go up. I think he probably will ultimately be an inside backer, but right now he plays inside, he plays outside. They can play him off the edge. They do in high school at Riverdale. So I think he's a guy who's got a chance to play multiple downs on defense. I don't think he's going to be necessarily a liability that you're going to have to yank off the field at some point. And then with Steed, it's going to be about just development. I mean, I think that's a guy who's pretty raw, and I think that he's got to, you know, going to have some development there. But that's a Rodney Garner recruit, and obviously that's a guy that Tennessee liked. Tennessee's led for him. His news was a surprise today because he had indicated to everybody that he had been talking to, including the media, that he was going to do something like May the 15th or May the 19th, somewhere in there. So that one came as a surprise today because he went early. But for Josh Heupel, I think to get some momentum, to get some positivity out there on the recruiting front, I think is good. You know, where do they go next? I don't know. I don't know that there's anybody on the horizon. I don't know that they need to have this run of 6 or 8 guys between now and June. But I think you'd like to pick up at least one more between now and June 1st when it's going to get wild woolly.
Do you think there'll be anything that is held over for the fact that the dark period has been in place for so long, but do you think there'll be anything that is a holdover from all the virtual recruiting and visits that have taken place, even though visits are about to be allowed once again?
No, I really don't. I don't think there'll be a ton of holdover. I mean, are there some relationships that have been formed? Sure. You know, will there be some, oh, okay, you know, hey, I know you, and it's maybe that's not as awkward, you know, like a first-time meeting. But I think the most fascinating thing that's going to come out of June is, A, which kids are going to be willing to camp, which ones are going to say, no, I'm taking visits, I don't want to camp, I just want to go see places, I'm not going to camp all month long. And then those who do camp, as coaches will want everybody to camp, to evaluate, because they haven't had a chance to evaluate them for a year, whose stock goes up and whose stock goes down. You look at the star ratings right now, those star ratings are essentially based on camp appearances that happened 2 years ago, you know, 18 months ago. Think about this. When you were, you know, some of these guys were freshmen when they got those offers and they got those rankings, and they're just now getting ready to go back out and be reevaluated, or sophomores who were just getting ready to go out and be reevaluated. How much did your body change during that time in your life? Guys can change a lot athletically. So I think you're going to see some guys who are going to get offers that everybody's going to go, who is that guy that you didn't know about because nobody's seen him? And you're probably going to see some guys who've had a laundry list of offers. They won't come out and publicly say they didn't have their offers or they don't have them anymore, but probably can't commit to some of the places that they thought they could commit to when they went back out on the camp circuit. I think that's going to be the fascinating part of June, because it's a total reevaluation, and it's almost like the previous evaluation probably didn't count a whole lot with the exception of a few people, okay? So that part's going to be interesting to watch.
That's Brent Hubbs with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. If you have a question or comment for Brent, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screens. Sports Talk today on Kingston Pike atop Bearden Hill at Bearden Fieldhouse. 6600 Kingston Pike. Come by, find the keyword to text in for the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. Our guest, Brent Hubbs, to join us, 656-9900, 656-9900, star 990 is free. For AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers, the toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, this staff in football has been behind the eight ball with in-state recruiting. It's a tremendous year for in-state prospects in football. Do you think that they will be able to recover and make up a lot of ground with in-state prospects?
Well, I don't know, Jimmy. I think it's hard. You know, I think there's some things working against them. As you mentioned, they're behind. I think that's part of it. The NCAA stuff is another part of it as well. And this state's hard. You know, this state's hard to recruit to. There's a lot of different variables in this state. Geography works against you in some ways. There's a lot of people to know because everybody's in, you know, got, you know, this coach, that coach, speed coach, parent, high school coach, you know, 7-on-7, whatever. There's a lot of variables in play there is around the country everywhere. And you're coming in as a staff that, with the exception of a couple of coaches, have really never even been in the state to recruit, to try to recruit anybody. And so I think it's going to be hard for this class. I really do. I think that I'm not saying you punt on this class at all, because you don't. You got to continue to try to recruit the, you know, the Dallin Haydens of the world and the Cam Millers and all these guys. But, I mean, you're not in Walter Nolan's top eight, who's, you know, the top player in the state as a defensive lineman. He's not originally from Tennessee, but you didn't make his top eight. Ty Simpson's obviously already committed elsewhere. It looks like the Wade twins are going to Kentucky. It's going to be hard. So you got to keep recruiting the 22s, but you also got to get to work on the 23s and 24s and get some offers out there and get moving in that direction with those guys, because you can't be behind with them after you've had a little time to get settled in here. I will say this. I bet Josh Heupel's going, man, this state's a lot different and a lot more challenging than I thought it was when I took this job.
Yeah. Your takeaways.
Here's the other thing, too. I don't mean to interrupt. I know this because I have this experience at home. My son's a sophomore in high school. He was born in 2004. What's Tennessee been like since then? Right? I mean, one SEC championship appearance when he was three, you know, so yeah. That's the other thing that works. These kids have not grown up. Now, their parents might have, and in a lot of cases, their parents didn't, because they're not originally from Tennessee, but there's not a great tradition for these kids that when they were 7, 8, 9 years old, they were glued to the TV or going to Neyland Stadium to watch Tennessee play, because Tennessee wasn't a real cool thing for them at that age. It's not a real cool thing for them at 16 right now. And so that's a challenge that works against you a little bit as well, Jimmy. Sorry to interrupt you.
No problem. Tennessee had open practice on Saturday. Your takeaways?
It's a tough day for the defense. It's one practice. You don't put a ton of stock in it. I think there's going to be, you know, I think this defense is going to have to be great in the red zone, hold teams to field goals, and they're going to have to be opportunistic and create some turnovers, because I think this defense is going to give up some yards. I think they're better in the back end defensively than people are going to want to give them credit for to start the year. I'm not saying they're great back there, but I think they got to be a chance to be pretty good in the secondary, pretty solid in the secondary. This defensive front's got to come on. I know Rodney Garner praised them pretty good on Tuesday. They've got to continue to step forward. And then the challenge is going to be at linebacker. Now, they're without Jeremy Banks. They're without Roman Harrison, but we've not seen Harrison at linebacker at the college level. We don't even know how that transformation or transition would go. Do they get a transfer linebacker? We'll see. I think depth at linebacker is obviously a major issue there. Offensively, the biggest takeaway surprise to me, Jimmy, was the running back position. I think they're pretty talented at running back, yeah, even beyond Jabari Small. I'm not saying they're not going to miss Eric Gray or that Eric Gray didn't count or Ty Chandler doesn't count, but I don't think there's going to be a huge drop-off there. Now, they're going to be young, you know, and they're going to have some inexperience there, but I spent some time with Jalen Wright in Durham, North Carolina. That guy is a guy who is dialed in and going to work. I'm not surprised he's had some success. I know D-Beck was too tall, you know, by all the numbers and by all the stat, you know, what everybody says. I like the way he runs the football, Jimmy. I really do. You know, I like the way he runs. And so I think they're going to be pretty decent at running back. I really do. I like them at running back. Of course, the question remains quarterback. And I don't think they're going to have an answer at quarterback in the next week and a half. I don't know that you're going to have an answer at quarterback until you get to mid-August or late August at this point.
Our guest, Brent Hubbs, 656-9900, 656-9900. Let's check in with Don. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Don.
Hello, gentlemen.
Hi.
Well, it's been a big couple of days for the Vols, basketball and football. Brent, I was just wondering, before those Keaton brothers commit to Kentucky tomorrow, the one that wants to play quarterback, and they told me he could play quarterback, there's a guy, Mal Cole, that's still in the NFL. He might get some advice from him about how long his quarterback play is going to be at Kentucky.
Well, I mean,
that's the same promise he got.
Who, Randall Cobb?
Yeah. Isn't that the same promise he got?
Yeah. But didn't he play quarterback at Kentucky?
What, two, three practices?
No. I think you can go back and look at his career. He's got quarterback stats. I'm not saying he was their starter every day, but he played some quarterback. Okay? Yeah. Listen, do I think Destin Wade's going to be an all-conference quarterback? Do I think he's ultimately going to be a quarterback in college? Probably not. Does Destin Wade deep down believe he's going to be a quarterback long-term in college? I don't have any idea. Is the sole reason he's going to go to Kentucky, if that's what they do tomorrow, is because of that? I don't know that it's the sole reason, but I think that he feels like they are committed to him for a longer period of time trying to be a quarterback, and I think there's a comfort level that the mom has with Kentucky about them being up there, and ultimately that's why he's going to end up at Kentucky. And I'm not saying Tennessee did anything wrong, but that's just, I think that's where they're at and what their vibe is with things right now. Here's the thing about Randall Cobb that a lot of people forget. Everybody wants to say, well, Kentucky promised him that he was going to be this, that, or the other. You know the biggest problem that happened with Tennessee and Randall Cobb? Nobody at Tennessee called Randall Cobb till about halfway through the state playoffs of his senior year. That's when Tennessee decided to recruit him and offer him. And they were about 8 months late to the party.
And Randy Sanders was all over him.
Yes, and Randy Sanders was on him in the spring, and Tennessee decided about this, first week of December. There was no early period there, but first 10 days of December, we might want to go recruit this guy. It was too late. That's why he ended up at Kentucky.
Oh, okay. Well, it's not so much why he ended up there. I just know that if you're going – to a school that's promising you something and everybody else is recruiting you differently, I would have some real hesitation.
That's why Jimmy Holliday's at Tennessee, Don. That's why Jimmy Holliday's here, because they promised him he could play. Tennessee promised Jimmy Holliday he could play quarterback here, and that's why he's at Tennessee. Nobody else was going to promise him he could play quarterback, and he ended up at Tennessee. Works both ways.
Yeah, it does, and
Juwan Jennings, James Banks. There's several examples.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Yeah. Hey, real quick on basketball. Right after the commitment today was official, I thought I'd have some fun. I go over to Rupp Rafters. It's pretty hilarious. Yeah, we didn't want him. He's got bad work habits. You know, he's just – and he's sinking in the ratings. And I thought, not the last ratings I looked at, he wasn't sinking anywhere. But – and then the same thing when it was Chandler. It's like, well, we don't really need him, blah, 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 blah. those people up there, they're as weird as Alabama football fans. I mean, they, well – we just didn't never want him. Of course, I know you're going to say, and I agree, a lot of Tennessee fans are the same way. Ah, we didn't want him. He ain't good enough to play that position. But it's really, really going to crush them. Tennessee finishes ahead of them in recruiting, which I think right now they are. But Tomba, is he going to reclassify and come in this class, in your opinion?
Feels like it. That's what feels like is going to happen. I can't say anything for official at this point, but that's certainly the feeling that is out there, is that's the direction it's heading right now.
We're going to go from front court poor to front court rich pretty quick, aren't we? I mean, they still got to come in here and prove they can play at that level, et cetera. But as far as just even having the numbers. Something we haven't had in, I don't remember the last time we had two, let alone three post players, you know, that size. So, sounds good.
From the outhouse to the penthouse.
Yes.
You think SEC is going to acquiesce like everybody else has on this transfer rule so that Powell can play this? Not so he can play, but he would be able to play if that transfer rule is followed by the SEC.
Look, if you're the SEC and the other Power Five and other Power Five conferences are obviously going that direction, Jimmy, how can you sit there and say we're not going to allow that, because that's going to be a detriment against you in recruiting and competing and the transfer deal? I just think that once enough conferences go that way, I think everybody's got to go that way. And it becomes a national rule. At least that's my feeling. I could be wrong, but I think that's the direction it ends up going, because it has to.
I think so, too. And another factor is, and he made it pretty clear, SEC Commissioner Greg Sankey indicated when he gave Cade Mays and a few others the waiver that, are we going to have a rule or not? What's the deal here? Don't have this rule and come to me and start asking for waivers. So I think that I think he might even push to say, let's don't fight this. And I don't want to sit here in the middle of trying to satisfy waiver requests. So I do think the SEC will adopt the NCAA rule.
Well, and the other thing he's got too, Jimmy, if he's stuck in the middle handling waiver requests, he's always the bad guy. So, I mean, how many people are you going to tell no?
Yeah.
And then if you're arbitrarily telling some no and some yes, then all of a sudden Greg Sankey's the bad guy. It's not the other school that the kid's transferring from, or somebody's trying to block this or block that. Ultimately, Greg Sankey becomes the bad guy, and I don't think that's the world any conference commissioner wants to be in at this point, with student-athletes, with everything that's coming down the pike that's going to continue to empower student-athletes with name, likeness, image, and all those things as well. So I don't think Greg Sankey wants any part of being the gatekeeper bad guy.
That's Brent Hubbs with Jimmy Himes. I'm John Wilkerson. More with Brent coming up. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. 656-9900 if you have a question or comment for Brent. 656-9900. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Our guest, Brent Hubbs, to join us. 656-9900. 656-9900. Star 990 is free for AT&T and U.S. Cellular customers. The toll-free number, 1-866-656-9900.
Brent, Cade Mays, Cooper Mays, made available to the media. They did it together. Your takeaways?
Well, it's fun, you know, and it's cool to see. It's really cool to see, and Cooper kind of talked about this a little bit, just the respect that they have for each other. And not that they, you know, they were brothers. They've always respected each other. But there was a period of time where Cooper was just a little brother, and you know, Cade was the big guy, you know, big man on campus, big man on the block, so to speak. And now both those guys are lining up playing side by side, and you can see the healthy respect that they have for each other's talent, skills, and ability on the football field. And I think both of them are liking this offense. You know, I think they kind of like what this offense is about and where it's going right now. So You can see, you know, some growing confidence with those guys, and I think that that's something that has been very important to Josh Heupel and the staff, is to try to get some confidence brewing in this program, particularly on offense, after what's been a tough couple of years in terms of offensive productivity. And you could sense the confidence not only from those two, but I thought Jerome Carvin as well. I thought all three of those guys seemed like they had a bit of a new lease on life in this offense. Now, proof's in the pudding come the fall. I get all that. But they're certainly, I think, enjoying what they're getting done this spring and have gained some confidence from it.
Was it you that asked the wide receivers, say this is a dream offense? What would the offensive linemen think of it?
That wasn't my question, but it was a great question, because it is one of those, and we've talked about it leading up to spring practice, how would this offensive line handle, you know, the transition that they're going to in this up-tempo offense, and what's it like? But I thought both of them's answer in that one was, hey, advantage us, because when you're going in a slow-down, huddle-up mode, every three or four plays, you get a fresh guy you got to push on across from you. Now we get an opportunity, six, seven plays in the drive, the guy across from us is wore out like we've been wore out. So it's advantage us, because we've got a better opportunity to win, which is something I hadn't really thought about. I thought Glenn Ellerbe on Tuesday, Jimmy, was pretty insightful and kind of what he's looking for in offensive line and what's key. And I thought it was pretty intriguing and interesting that he said the first thing that's important for him is a guy's ability to mentally process, because it happens so fast. I think it gives you an idea of what he's looking for, and I think that's something that is a strength of Cooper Mays and Cade Mays, and I think you're seeing some of those guys thrive because of that.
Do you think it would be safe to say Tennessee could be the leader for Camp Mays in the class of 2034?
Yeah, it could be. Who knows? I'm not going to cover that. I'm not planning on covering that recruitment. I can promise you that. I'm going to be sitting on a rocking chair somewhere telling somebody to get off my lawn is what I'm going to be doing. That's a long time away, John.
Boy, you're not kidding, but it'll be here before you know it. Let's go to Doug.
Oh, you're not kidding about that.
Doug, you're on Sports Talk. Good afternoon.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well. And you?
I'm good. I'm going to ask you a question. I hope that I just got on here, so I hope I'm not asking something you just answered. But I did go to the practice on Saturday, and I just wanted to hear what your guys' thoughts were. I'm assuming all of you guys were there. But what I was trying to watch for was how well did the quarterbacks throw the ball? Did they have good tight spirals? Are they making, a lot of velocity on the ball? I thought that both Harrison Bailey and what's the
Hooker?
Kid from Florida?
Maurer.
Brian Maurer.
I thought both of them threw the ball extremely well, both on distance balls, short range balls. Everything looked really good. Everybody behind them, I thought, was somewhat mediocre, but I want to hang up and listen to what your guys' thoughts on it, because I think that both of those two guys, if the season started tomorrow, I would feel good about either one of them. But I'm going to hang up and listen. I appreciate it. Thanks, guys. I always love the show.
You know,
Doug, thank you.
Brian Maurer is maddening to coaches. Because I think he's probably maddening to fans and people who watch him play. There are moments where he throws a ball and you're like, wow. And I thought Saturday, rolling to his right, early in practice, he dropped about four balls in that were just fantastic. He threw a touchdown pass to Ramel Keaton. Mm-hmm. That's as pretty as you'll see on a rollout.
Yep.
He bobbles a snap on another one, keeps his composure, and Jimmy just ripped one down the seam for a touchdown. He had another rollout going the other way that Walker Merrill dropped that was absolutely a dime in a bucket. I mean, just a beautiful ball.
Yep.
Then about 30 minutes later, they go into a period, and it's 11-on-11 period, and he underthrows about two or three deep balls. A couple of them are picked off. He holds the ball and gets sacked multiple times, and you're like, what? And that inconsistency is maddening. And I think for Brian Maurer to have a chance, he's got to eliminate the inconsistency. I'm not saying he's got to rip a touchdown every throw, but you can't have those wild swings like that. He's got to be a much more consistent player. You know, Bailey, I think, you know, again, in the 11-on-11 stuff on that particular day when I watched him, I thought he held the ball too long, too many times. That was kind of my takeaway. Hooker, I didn't think he drove the ball down the field very well. And I know he's got a history. I said that on the message board, and somebody came back and told me his average yards per completion at Virginia Tech. I'm not saying he can't throw it vertically. I'm saying I didn't see a lot of that on Saturday in an offense that is designed to throw the ball vertically down the field, Jimmy.
Yeah, I thought pretty much the same thing with a lot of that and of what you said. And there was inconsistency from my vantage point with a lot of the quarterbacks. I'm going to temper mm-hmm. a little bit of the optimism of Bailey and Maurer about feeling good. I'm not going to watch one practice and make a decision like that. I want to see a whole lot more, and I probably won't have a chance to see a whole lot more, but I would like to get a better idea of watching them and see about some consistency and seeing if they can bring it each time out. And I believe this, and I know that some have argued this, but there are just some guys that practice better than they play and some guys that play better than they practice. And I'm wondering if Maurer is one of those guys that at times might practice better than he plays.
I don't know. And you're exactly right. I know coaches don't want to hear that. Well, you play as you practice and all this other stuff. And I've used this example before. You watch Casey Clawson throw routes versus air, and you go, no, I don't see it. You watch him on one-on-ones, you go, okay, I still really don't see it. 7-on-7, you go, wow, pretty good. You know, he's getting guys open pretty good. 11-on-11, wow. He's a better player with more people on the field, you know, and he was a better player in scrimmages and games than he ever practiced. And some people have that. That's how some people are built. And some people are the opposite of that. So I'm with you. And I know that's a little contradictory because I said earlier I was bragging on the running backs. I think it's a little easier to evaluate that position in one practice. But I think with the quarterbacks, you know, I think scrimmages are so important. And so I'm really fascinated to hear how those guys perform in Saturday scrimmage. Are they more consistent than they were in the first scrimmage?
We'll get a break. We've got one more segment with Brent Hubbs coming up. His appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing and Gates Hotline. Sports Talk Today set up here at Bearden Fieldhouse, 6600 Kingston Pike. They've got their great menu, something for everyone. Our esteemed engineer Andy went for the Chickahuna. Loves it, no doubt about it. But you'll find something you love as well on the menu here. It's Trivia Night tonight. It gets underway at 8. Our guest, Brent Hubbs of AllQuest.com. Have a gentleman right now that has stopped by here at Bearden Fieldhouse to find the keyword to text in and perhaps become a finalist for the Michelob Ultra Golf Giveaway. Better than a birdie. So I guess now we should say that there are going to be two other finalists besides this very confident gentleman that's now departing because he says he's getting one of them. But you can come on by. It's that easy. Let's check in with Steve. You're on Sports Talk. Hello, Steve.
Hey, fellas.
Hey.
Hey. Brent, since they've been practicing this spring practice, who are several people you might think of that are pretty exciting if you're a UT fan, that look pretty good or real good in practice and people you think might do well?
Well, I mean, I think it's on offense when you talk about running backs, and I think some of those receivers when you talk about the way Callaway's come on and Jimmy Holiday's come on this spring. I think both those guys have had good springs. I mentioned earlier, I like this tailback room. I know they're inexperienced, but I like the makeup of that group when you talk about Jabari Small and Dee Beckwith, and we haven't even seen Tyon Evans. He was out there today in a non-contact jersey, and I think he's probably looking around going, you know what, I better get back out there pretty quick and get some work done because some of these other guys are showing up, Jalen Wright and other guys like that. So those are some names that jump out. I think, Jimmy, probably the biggest, most intriguing story of the spring has been the play of Dane Davis at left tackle.
Yeah,
that's not anything anybody saw coming. He was rewarded first day of spring with first-team left tackle reps because of what he got done in the off-season program and the work that he had put in film room and just the impression he had made. And he just hasn't given it up. I mean, he's just stayed there and been one of their best five offensive linemen every day in the spring. And that's, I promise you, that's not a guy anybody even knew was on the roster anytime last season or in January. So that's probably the most surprising guy of the spring to this point, Dane Davis.
And I think that's important for Tennessee, too, because that's a position of need. They have got to step it up at offensive line because they've lost some people and some people have underperformed. So I think that's big if he's able to play at that level.
Right.
Yeah, particularly the tackle position, Jimmy. I like that. I like some of their depth on the inside, and obviously Kate can play inside or outside. But you look, they don't have much depth at the tackle spot, and to the point that you thought, well, maybe, you know, when you think maybe they might look in the portal, and they might still look in the portal, but that depth number looks a little bit different right now because of Dane Davis, and credit him for taking advantage of a new staff coming in and taking advantage of the opportunity in front of him. He's obviously run with it this spring.
Okay. You mentioned earlier Maris dropping a pass Saturday. How's he looked overall?
Oh, he's had a nice spring. I mean, that was more of a credit to the ball that Brian Maurer threw than anything else. I mean, it should have been caught by Merrill, but I think Walker Merrill's done some good things. I do, and he's caught a good number of passes in the slot. And again, I think there's opportunities in front of him to get on the field. I think his performance, quite frankly, Steve, the early part of spring has been a bit of a catalyst for a guy like Jimmy Holiday and Jimmy Callaway. You know, that, you know, you don't, nothing is a given for you. Just because you're the guy standing there doesn't mean you're the guy. You got to go out and earn it. And I think competition drives everybody. And I think Walker Merrill's been good competition for them, and it's making all three of those guys better players. They look for a number three because I think Velus Jones and Jalen Hyatt are their top two wide receivers.
Right. Okay.
Steve, we appreciate it. Thank you very much. Oh. Brent, we always appreciate you. What's going on these days at VolQuest.com?
Well, when the moron that runs the website puts the right two-minute drill up, there will be an update from practice day with the right two-minute drill. I messed up the first load, so the second one's almost done, so that's going to be – that's going to be up in just a couple of minutes for everybody to view and the right one. We had our mailbag podcast up this morning. I had a chance to visit with Tennessee's new basketball commitment and appreciate him on a very hectic day, taking 4, 5, 6 minutes out of his time to visit with me. Pretty insightful conversation with him about why it's Tennessee, why he reclassified, what led him to the decision to reclassify. So we've got all that up there as well. Of course, tomorrow we'll have the War Room. We'll preview a big baseball series as Vanderbilt comes to town. We'll continue to follow plenty of football and football recruiting as well.
It's all at VolQuest.com. Brent, thank you very much. Good luck with everything, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Brent's appearance brought to you by Diversified Enclosures and Screen. Coming up next, hour number 4 of Sports Talk. And, Jimmy, we've got a lot that's going to happen in a very short span of time. It starts with the Sports Fix at 6, and then who are we catching up with?
Jonas Adu, he is a Tennessee center that has landed in the boat. We're also going to have a football practice report. We're going to hear more from Tennessee football players. We got a lot coming your way.
All that and more coming up. Stay with us on Sports Talk on 99.1, The Sports Animal.